Let's just give the band a moment to get their seats. I have a word for someone. You are skeptical of what you are seeing here this morning. And I say this in the greatest love. But the Father knows what is in your second drawer. And from His perspective, there is one drawer. So if that's you, I want to invite you to open your heart. Just let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Okay. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you that you see us, you see where we are, and you're always drawing us closer. And that your word will remain, and it is eternal, and it is the seed that gives birth to us. And we come this morning, and we want to come and hear more of what you have already been speaking. We come and hunger and thirst to drink of your living water. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to... Sure. Okay, so I have a bigger prop than I said. Slightly. So last week, I just want to quickly finish last week's sermon. Is that okay? I had a little bit of feedback in the week, and I felt like, okay, there were, if you know me, you'll know there were a couple of things happening last week. But here's the thing. I know I kind of left us with a bit of a, you know, like, Lord, I don't know what to do with the fact that I haven't been the temple that goes to the people. Now, the Lord is not here to condemn us. When He reveals truth to us, it is so that we can confess that truth, turn from our own way, and say, Lord, I did not live according to that way of being a temple to the people around me. So I confess what is the truth now, and I align, I repent of what I did do, and I come and I turn to your way. So that's, let me just finish that sermon from last week. The invitation is, let us turn to those areas I highlighted for us to be the temple and say, in this area, Lord, I do want to come and align with your way. Because John writes in the letter 1 John, he says, if we are in this world, we should be like Christ in this world. Now, obviously, that's not something we can be. What he means is we must be walking the way. Is actually the word he uses, the way. Let us walk in the way that Christ walked. So it's in the direction that he walked perfectly. We may sometimes, maybe it's a little stumbling sometimes, maybe it's running. But let us come and go into that way of being a temple. Can you put that footnote in last week's sermon? Does that make you a little bit more encouraged? Okay, a little bit. Some people are. Other people are like, I don't know what he's talking about. That's okay. You can go listen to the sermon. It's online. So this morning, talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, I have longed for this day. But here we are. The work of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've just come to realize, we so often hear the term, you receive a gift from the Holy Spirit. You've heard that? We talk about you must bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How often have you heard about the work of the Holy Spirit? Is it like something that you have a sticker on your fridge? I haven't come across it much. And I think that's a pity, because I'm going to look, see, Paul spends actually a lot of time talking about he looks at both the fruit and the gifts and things as part of the work and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So he uses that kind of terminology. So it's not really, it's something that's quite more prevalent in the scriptures. But then when we look at John, and he looks at the same thing, but he calls it, he comes from this angle and he talks about in the Gospel of John, he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's something I want us to dwell on. So before I carry on, the background picture you can see there is a truck that's a car carrier. And in preparation, I saw this image very similar to that. I had to go find it on Google, but that's more or less what I saw. And the father was saying to me, so often we want to be that car that goes driving around. But the invitation is from the Holy Spirit. He says, we cannot get from Joburg to here on the tank of fuel that we have. Okay? I'm using it as an example. We pray for Johannesburg. Okay? Even Johannesburg that comes here. Here's the thing. With those new cars, they're not going to drive from there to here to fulfill the purpose that they are meant to fulfill. And that's the invitation. When we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, he's saying to us, I am the carrier. You cannot get where you need to get on your own. Right? You need to get on board the work that he is doing. So are you excited to let's just look at that a little bit this morning? So I want to look at the first scripture here, John 16. So last week we let Peter be Peter. This week we're going to let John be John. Okay, so we're going to basically be in John 16. You can open your Bibles there. You can keep it there. We'll be a little bit in 14 and 15 as well, but mostly in 16. We see this. Jesus speaking. He says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. This is the he's referring to what he's just spoken to them about, the fact that he's going, there will be persecution, it'll be tough, but he will be with him. But and then he says, but because I've said these things to you, these things he's referring to is to they're like, oh, what? We invested in you, Jesus. And he's saying, no, I'm leaving. And the Father's sending another. And so they're all like busy going, he's leaving? But he's saying, you didn't listen to the other part. The other part is the important part. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to advantage that I go away, because that's what they're freaking out about. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. So the ESV translates that word parakletos as the helper. It's this term of a legal advocate that comes alongside, the encourager, the comforter. You can look at different translations. It's this idea of one who comes alongside and helps, right? So I like the helper idea, because we need a lot of help. Something to just put in a little understanding here. The Father and the Son, they planned salvation, right? The Father is the Godhead that planned salvation. Christ, as the first sent one, he's the sent one that performed salvation. Right? Have you seen that? But it is Jesus that died on the cross. The Son performed the plan. And then Jesus and the Father, at one point in this conversation, Jesus refers to the Father sending, and then he talks about him sending. So the two of them, they then send the other sent one, is what he's talking about. He says, the Holy Spirit is the sent one to apply the salvation. You see that? Father plans, Son performs, the Spirit applies. So when he's talking here, if I go, I will send him to you. That's the kind of the context we need to understand of the age we live in, of the Acts Church age we live in. But we need to know what work the Holy Spirit has come to do. And I want to look specifically, like I said, Paul has a certain view on the same thing. Okay, we're not talking about different works. Paul has a view on it from a certain angle. But let's look at John's angle, right? I think it's fair to let John be John. So let's look at John's angle. So here we have in John 14, verse 16, we have the first work of the helper. And I will ask the Father, And he will give you another helper to be with you forever. You hear that first work? And we're quite comfortable with that work, aren't we? Like we get born again, we can understand when someone says, yeah, the Holy Spirit is in you when you're born again. You're born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. So we're comfortable with the idea that when we confess Christ as Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit wants to abide in us. Right? He wants to be with you forever. And Jesus goes further. He says, the world cannot receive him. They do not know him. They do not see him. But you know him because he dwells with you and will be in you. Okay, so that's in John 14. Is this first work, to be with you forever. Okay. You understand that one? Good. Second one. I'm covering some ground here this morning. Verse 26 of John 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, once again we see here the Father sending, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now what Jesus is talking about here, if you look at the verses before and after this, he's saying to them, I will manifest myself to you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And they ask, how will you manifest yourself to us? And he immediately goes over to those who love me will keep my word. They will keep my word. And then the Holy Spirit will take that word and teach you who I am. So I've just taken the snapshot verse here, but read the verses before and after this. And he's saying, how am I going to manifest myself to you? I'm going to manifest myself to you when you take my inspired word and you let the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, teach you about me, because it is all about me, says Jesus. Right? So that's the second work that the Holy Spirit comes to do. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. And we know what he brought to their remembrance because we have it recorded in the New Testament. What the Holy Spirit inspired them to record, brought to the apostles' remembrance. And we can then come and take that same remembrance to the Holy Spirit and say, teach me who Jesus is. It's part of his. He loves it because he loves bringing glory to the Father and the Son. You see that? I'm going to run through some things here this morning. Number three, the work of the Spirit is to witness about Jesus, like I just said. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, here Jesus is the sending one, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And then he goes on, the next verse, he actually then says, and you will bear witness about me as well. So it's this, the work that the Holy Spirit comes to do is, he witnesses, and we will witness. When we read in Hebrews 2, there's a part where at the beginning of Hebrews 2 says they preached the word and the Holy Spirit bore witness by signs and wonders. Right? Because he's the Spirit that bears witness to who Christ is. It's part of his work. He loves it. And that we are, let's park here. In a sense, we are, in our age, very comfortable with those first three works, aren't we? It's okay. I like hearing the Holy Spirit wants to be within me forever, that he wants to teach me. It's nice to hear. And that he wants to witness and empower me to witness. Are you comfortable with that? I think the main reason why we don't really speak so much about the work of the Holy Spirit is because of this. We get to this part and hear a whole lot. I get so many, whenever I read this and someone's like, no, and that's not God, and that's not, you know, God loves me. Yes, let's just look at how he loves you. Right? So here's a powerful truth. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The word the world is cosmos. It means hiriplek. Are you in Hiriplek? I think it might apply to you. I get a lot of like theoretical things here, and we're going to unpack this a little bit here this morning. I forgot about my prop. So, first prop. There's the first one. Holy Spirit comes to live within you. There's the second one. His work. Oh, I like these cars. They're Hot Wheels. He comes to teach you. And then he comes to empower you to witness. We're so comfortable with those. And then we get to this. He comes to convict the world. And then I get things like, no, it's for the world. And we're not in the world. Yes, we're not of the world. When you're born again, you're not of the world. We're still here. And let's look at, you know, we get a lot of Bible commentary. And this is like, I've said this before, when Jesus uses a parable and he actually explains it, that should be our primary commentary. There are some parables he doesn't explain, right? But then there are some he actually literally explains, this is what it means. And then we still go to the commentary to understand what it means. Let's look at Jesus' commentary on what does Jesus mean when he says, I will send the Spirit and he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. It's one work. You see, it's not all sin, all righteousness, all judgment. It's and. See, this is one thing he does as a unit. So I want to look at the first one. Look at the first commentary. Let's go to the next slide. Concerning sin, and this is Jesus' commentary, because they do not believe in me. John, in the letter 1 John, he says, sin is lawlessness. It's when you're a law unto yourself. James writes, he says, sin, when we are drawn away by our desires and tempted, and then sin gets fully grown and gives birth to death. Right? In James, you can go read that. But it starts with this drawing away by your own desires, whereas we are supposed to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the first thing that the early Christians, when they got born again, they got baptized, they come out of the water, they say, Jesus is Lord. Because that, it's not talking about sins, it's talking about, this is the sin of the world, because they do not believe in me. Because the world says, my works will save me. I will work, I will figure this out myself. I will be righteous in my own eyes. I know what is right and wrong. But faith says, I know the one who did what is right, and I put my trust in him. Let's continue on the commentary, because I think you'll get the picture here. Let's look at the next verse. Concerning righteousness, you see, it starts with sin, because we cannot save ourselves, we have to believe in the one. And then it says, concerning righteousness, and it's emphasizing the same point. He's saying, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Now, there's a lot of debate about this, but what is Jesus saying? I believe he's saying the following. He's not talking about our, when we do what is right, that is righteous. He's talking about righteousness. It's a reference to the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is when the Son was murdered, his life, rechtvaardig, justified his resurrection. Muhammad has not been raised. Buddha has not been raised. The list goes on. Mandela has not been raised. Right? He's referring to the righteousness of God. God has only raised one man because of his own conduct, the man Jesus Christ. So that's the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world and us continuously. There is only one who has been raised. There's only one that God in his righteousness is right in resurrecting. No one else. I think we missed another car here. Right? You missed a good place to say amen. Amen. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. What does the commentary say? Concerning judgment, Because the ruler of this world is judged. The ruler of the world is who? Satan. He has been judged. It says, is judged. The things we are told by John in 1 John, not to love the world or the things of the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, because these things are passing away. It has been judged. It will not remain. The one who does the will of God will remain, is what he says. Concerning judgment, and we have this fear of talking about judgment, and that's for another sermon. I'll unpack, you know, what is judgment all about. But let me just say this. For us, judgment is a good thing. For us who are in Christ. Because when he judges, we will be in Christ. Christ has been judged worthy of the resurrection because of his conduct. On the cross, he extended that right standing to us who believe on him. So we have no need to fear this verse that talks about the Holy Spirit's work of convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, because the devil comes to accuse and he points consistently, the devil points to your conduct, right? The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He will accuse you about your conduct. The Holy Spirit comes to convict and he will point you to Jesus. Every single one of these is pointing to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Remember, he's the one that God's righteousness, he has been raised. And he is the judge appointed. In Acts, I think it's Acts 17, I might be wrong. But in Acts, Paul says, God has appointed him to judge the living and the dead. And he has proven it by raising him from the dead. Right? This is what he's talking about here. So, I want to challenge you because it might... Oh, I lost two cars here. We'll put them back. That's why we have to keep getting back on the... Getting back on the carrier, right? Let the Holy Spirit convict us. We're like, oh, I went and stood on my own righteousness. I'm going to just put that back there. I believed in my keeping of the Sabbath was saving me. I went and did these things. And then I'm like, oh no, he's the one that did it all. In him, Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. So we have to keep putting it back on the carrier. He wants to play with the cars. That's okay. It'll be at the end, eh? You got a car with you already. That's okay. If the Holy Spirit is to witness to the world, and the Holy Spirit does not have a radio station, have you tried to dial in your car radio? No. I haven't either. There is no radio station called Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks through people. He speaks through us. He witnesses and we witness as empowered by him. Right? So, if his work is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and he gives us the explanation of what he means by that, surely that starts with us. Surely my life is one that should say, my life testifies, witnesses to the fact that Jesus is Lord, I believe in him. My life witnesses to the fact that it is God's righteousness that raised him from the dead. My life witnesses to the fact that there will be a day of judgment and I am not investing my whole life in the things of this world. My decisions are different. My investment portfolio looks different. Is that not a witness to the world? Is it not? I ask you. Yeah. So we do not have to fear. This is not talking about the Holy Spirit condemning. You see, in John 3, Jesus says, the world is condemned already. Those who do not believe, they still have the bite of the snake. Go read it. It says, those whosoever believes will be saved. And as the Son of Man will be raised up like the snake was in the wilderness, for those who were bitten by the snakes, they would look on the copper snake and then they would be healed. He says the same way the Son. When you look upon him, then it takes care of the snake bite. You don't look upon him, still got the snake bite. The Holy Spirit is coming to convict us Once again, like I said in the beginning here, the footnote from the previous sermon, what are we doing? When we see the Holy Spirit has been convicting us, what should our response be? We should turn from trusting in our own way, turn to trust in the way Jesus walked, confess that is the truth, that is the way, and trust the Holy Spirit to empower us to go that direction so that we can be a witness to the world. Does it make sense to you? Okay, I'm going to ask you see, I want us to take a moment. I believe the Holy Spirit's already been ministering here this morning. He's been speaking to you about his work. He hasn't left the building. We can hear the rain. It's beautiful. So I want us to take a moment here. Maybe you're comfortable with the teaching he will be in us. And you're comfortable with the teaching that he will teach us from the scripture. And you're even comfortable with his empowering you as a witness. But you're not comfortable with what I've just said about the other work. Maybe he's touching on something. Maybe there's a little bit of a raw nerve. See, the Holy Spirit convicts to point us to Christ. He does not convict so that we would feel miserable and in that place remain. It is always to lead us to turn to what Christ has done. Because that is where our acceptance is. So I want us to take a moment and just respond. The Holy Spirit has been talking to you about something specific. There was someone earlier that there was a very something specific. That's none of my business further. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now where you need to turn. So I want to give us a moment to do that. You see, in Windhoek, I only got to start preaching at 20 past 10. The church also started at 9, so I think we're still good. We might just finish before them. So take 5 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever. I'm going to take a moment. Amen. Let's respond to that. Many are called. Will you choose to respond? Will you choose to respond today? Because that is the invitation today. We're not here for anything other than Jesus Christ. Some of you are asking, they're saying, well, there's still a gap here. That's why you need to get to the front. The props make more sense. There's still a gap there. There's another work. There's another work of the Holy Spirit. Let's put the last slide up. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So in a sense, referring to what we've already covered. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is Jesus kindly reminding us that the Holy Spirit is fully God. Not some angel, not some ministering angel. Only God can declare what will be. He says, who else can declare the end from the beginning? Who else? So here Jesus comes and he says, remember. He will declare to you the things that are to come. And we see this specifically fulfilled, right? So stay with me here. We see this fulfilled in the book of Revelation. The Holy Spirit has declared what will be. Very specifically. And we can see that book being fulfilled. In every generation, there are fulfillments of the prophecy that the Holy Spirit has recorded. When John recorded this. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit to record this. He did not know he was going to have the encounter that led to the book of Revelation. But it's beautiful that the Holy Spirit came to close that circle with John. Didn't give Revelation to Paul. Gave it to John. As a fulfillment of this work of the Holy Spirit. And that is what the Holy Spirit is still doing today. He has spoken. The word is unchanging. Revelation will not be changed. But at the same time, he remains the Spirit of prophecy. And I believe that is what the Holy Spirit is here to do today. So I want to invite us to stand. We're not here to hear a good sermon, to listen to my words. We are here because we believe the Holy Spirit ministers here, and he's still the Spirit of prophecy. And Paul says, the Spirit of prophecy we should desire, we should want it, because it is to encourage. He is to encourage, to build up, and to comfort. That's why he speaks prophetically, to show you that he sees. Like that invitation was earlier, that he sees. He knows, and he knows what is to come. He can build up for what is to come. He can encourage you for what is to come. So I want to share a story. I had a friend years ago. They were in an amazing space, him and his wife, professional careers. And sounds ridiculous. They were super nailing it, like wealth-wise. And we're in a small group. We were just praying for one another. And he said, he's just got this thing, like they're doing really well. He does not know what they must do with this money. And I prayed, and in that moment, I saw these silos, these grain silos. I said to him, my friend, I believe the Lord is saying you need to, actually, this sounds contrary, you need to be saving up this money. Strange word. I mean, I should have probably said, no, you must give it to the church or something. I don't know. I've stayed in that place. 6 months later, him and his wife both lose their jobs. I think it was 2 years before they got an income again. It's why we need the Spirit of prophecy to encourage us, to build us up. So as we come to the end of this sermon, I want to open the floor. Paul says we must invite the prophets, two or three, to prophesy. Let it be done in an orderly manner. But let us not quench prophecy. And at intercession this morning, we prayed that there were people who have heard the voice of God before for others around them. But they have felt like they've become deaf. Physically, maybe spiritually. And we invited, we said, Lord, we hear you, we want you to heal. So this is a specific invitation. If you feel you have a word of prophecy, come and prophesy to the congregation. I want prophecy in this house. So we need it for what's coming. So I'm waiting here. If you feel you have a word, it's the invitation. Come and bless the congregation. So there's a word, a specific word. that enough is enough, and I believe this ties in with what has been shared previously. There has been an attack, and the Lord is speaking to you and saying, enough is enough. I give you Romans 8 verse 36. I'm just going to read it for you because this is a word for someone here. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And this is what God is speaking to you in saying enough is enough. He's saying, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once again, the spirit of prophecy is pointing to Jesus Christ. Will you receive that word?
I feel the Lord is saying that he's ready and eager to open the stores of heaven for you in terms of your spiritual growth. I feel the Lord is saying that there's been people here who's been longing to be used. And they look at other people and they say, oh, I want to be like that one, I want to be like that person. But today is your day to step out and receive what the Father heart of God is opening himself to. He's opening the storerooms of heaven. And if there's something that in particular that you're asking him for, some of you have been asking him for a long, long time. And he says, I'm ready to give. Come. Come.
I want to type of that. I want to make that invitation. Do not let duty deter you from this response. The Lord is saying specifically, do not let duty deter you from this response. Now, you know what duty you were just using as an excuse. We're going to sing this song, Nothing Else, Jesus. I can ask the band. And if you need to respond, if you are that person that needs to respond, to say, Lord, I want to be a witness, then I want to ask you to, while we worship, to come to the front here, and we will pray for you while we are ministering to the Lord. So here's another specific word. God has spoken to you before, and he's saying, Jeremiah 1 verse 12, I'm watching over my word to perform it. So there's a place here this morning where God is bringing to mind words that you have received previously. And he's asking you, will you align with that word? Will you align with that word I've given you previously? I'm watching over it to perform it, but you have not taken hold of it. So that's the invitation as we minister to the Lord in this moment. Let us, if that's you, come to the front as we sing the song. Take that step.
I'm not here.
While we're standing, just remain standing. There's a third word here that I'm going to ask Ralph just to share. It's a prophetic testimony. I think it's for someone here that needs to be reminded of the faithfulness of God.
Lord, before I start, Lord, please just guide me. I'm not a person that likes to speak in front of a lot of people, and Lord, I'm just bow my knee, and I'm asking you to just that I'm a channel for you, and Lord, what I've going to tell, Lord, that this just has an effect, like it had an effect on so many lives before and on my life specifically. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. It's a story I have been sharing. It's been 2 years ago that happened. A story that has been called by an atheist friend the Gospel of Jock. I've been as a little boy, 2 years old. I'm 11 years old. There was a big crisis in our family, a divorce, no finances, and I had a bicycle, and I had my younger brother, and my bicycle was my everything. It was an old bicycle, and the handles were coming off. They were actually deteriorating, and I loved this bicycle. And I said to God, now the handle was in such a way that it actually really came off, and you've got a bare handle, and it's not nice to have a bare handle on your bicycle. So I said to God, in my childlike faith, Lord, you know there's no finances for bicycle handles. And I said, please, I really want bicycle handles. And I went out cycling, and in Windhoek, I mean, you've got those days, a lot of open spaces, vast open spaces in amongst the town, and little paths, and there was an open space where there were a couple of sand heaps, and I used to go there and cycle there. And my younger brother, he actually cycled. He was 2 years old, and he would sit in the front. And yeah, I was cycling, and all of a sudden, as I cycled on one of those little bush paths, something caught my eye next to the road, and I stopped, turned back where I saw it, and there were two bicycle handles, the same one that I had, but not brand new, but for those you know, the sides were intact, so it was like almost 100%, almost brand new. And I thought it was the time when Candid Camera came out, and I thought, hang on, I'm not going to pick up those bicycle handles because somebody's going to jump out of the bush and whatever. So I stood around then, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, okay. So that was my starting point, and I just started praising God, and I couldn't believe it. 2 years ago, this Gospel of Jock happened, where I was on a Wednesday, I witnessed in front of people my testimony of my bicycle story. We've got a men's coffee. I witnesses that miracle on that same week, on a Friday morning with the men, and well, I was cheerful and I was happy, and I was had to then go to Somerset, to Strand, to get some equipment for my business. And I decided, hey, I can take my dog with. I love my dear Jock, and he comes with me. It's an Alsatian cross cattle dog. Well, I was driving, and on my way, Jock, he loves to stand in the middle, and when I turn my head, he presses often his chin onto my chin, and he looks where I'm looking, and so he's like this real companion, lively dog. And I actually started saying, thank you, God, for this dog. I really love this dog. So then I drove to Somerset, to Strand, and he's quite a protective dog as well. Came to the first shop, and somebody walked past, and he, like, really, this guy came too close and so on, and then he's quite protective, so he said to him, listen, don't. Well, then I got to the next hardware store where I picked up some stuff, left my bucky outside, left the window a little bit open for this, and it was parked in the shade as well, but still keeping track of the dog and, yeah, okay, looking after my dog. So I went in and bought some stuff, and while I was busy paying, I heard a vehicle outside driving past, and it sounded like my bucky. And I thought, no. Dropped my stuff, ran out, and just to see that the rear end of my bucky disappearing. And I couldn't believe it. And I turned around, checked, and I saw the parking bay where I was parking was gone. So I started running behind the vehicle, and it was my bucky, and just disappeared. And I just thought, no, my dog is in there. It's my bucky, but my dog. And I just like turned around again to my parking bay, and there was a guy just getting out of his vehicle, so he took over my parking side, and I said, listen here, did you see this bucky driving around? He says, yes. I said, that was my bucky. It's been stolen, and my dog is inside. And I couldn't believe it. And I just, asked the guy, listen, he said, come, jump into my bucky. We'll check whether, do you know where he went? I said, I don't know. So different options. We went the one option, and heavy traffic on a Friday afternoon. We didn't manage to get through there, but he tried his best until we got on the freeway, but there was no hope. And he said, you just can hate those people and so on. I said, no, I'm not going down this way. I'm not going down this way. And I started praying in front of this stranger, and he thought maybe this guy is just crazy. I mean, I didn't care about my bucky. I just cared about my dog. Well, we drove a little bit, and then I said to him, but I don't think you get any further. And then I decided to quickly phone a friend. She's very good on social media. I said, listen, this and this is what happened. She knows my dog and so on, and knows how attached I am to the dog. And so that went viral. Then we passed a police car. I said, stop, please. I just want to report it now to the police. The police, very friendly, very concerned. They were from Stellenbosch. They said, no, they have to call somebody from Strand. They responded. I was actually quite amazed. They said, okay, the only thing that we can do is go back to the store and maybe look at the CCTV footage. And in the meantime, I phoned Nadine and said, listen, terrible thing happened. Well, and in the meantime, I just still said, God, please, I don't know why this happened. I've been a witness to you. And now this. And then I said to him, okay, while I was standing there with the police, all of a sudden I hear somebody shouting, hey, Ralph, are you in trouble? And I look up, and that's a dear friend of mine from here, from a farm here by Kleinmond. And he said to me, are you in trouble with the police? I said, Paul, no, you cannot believe it, but Jock has been stolen, my bucky. He says, oh, he's quite a rough guy. He says, hey, guy, come, whatever. I'm here to help. So I had wheels. I mean, I was there. I didn't have anything to, transport anymore. And he's a very long-standing friend of mine. And then we went to the hardware store and we looked at the CCTV footage. It was quite pathetic to see me running after the bucky. Basically I could have actually got to the bucky if I would have just persisted running. Seeing that, we saw that another vehicle actually helped the guy blocking the traffic. So maybe it would have been better. It was maybe better not that I got hold of this guy, because they might have had any weapons. So in the end, Paul and I, we were driving around. First we went to the police station and did a statement and so on and so on. Then the phone calls came in, responding on the social media. I had phone calls from Namibia, from Germany, a phone call. People that actually responded and said, listen, either we're praying for you. I had a dear friend that is sitting here responding. I just thought, called me and he said, Ralph, whatever I can help. And he says, but I'll pray for you. Let's somehow pray now here over the phone. And he prayed for me, and it was so, I just felt, yes, God, thank you. He's, I've got friends around me, and I've called my angel and so on, and it was like just tears rolled down. And I mean, I had to just walk this path. And then we went and followed some of the leads, but nothing. And then I heard Jock was found next to the road. He was dead, and I thought, at least he's fine now. And no, then I couldn't accept it. But then it was not the dog that we were looking for. And then I said, Paul, there's no chance. I don't know what we must do, but you also have to get home. And he took me then home, but he said, come, let's go through Solaris Pass Village. Maybe we can just, whatever. There was a response from that area that there has been a sighting, but yeah. I just, when we drove through there, I said, there's no way. This is Solaris Pass Village, and this is still quite organized compared to all the other areas that we know of, the squatter camps and so on. And that dog will be probably used for dog fights tonight. And no, I thought this is not on. I went back home and met my family, and I felt like such a loser. Wow. I said, God, I've lost my dog. I don't know what to say. I said, no, Lord. And my wife, she just said, Rav, we're going to get dog, our dog back. And I said, you don't know, Nadine. You don't know. I've been driving, and I know there is no chance. It's Friday. This dog is gone. He's gone. Kids crying. And I then in the evening, I mean, I was praying, and I couldn't pray anymore, and I was just lying in bed, and everybody then fell asleep, and I was just, midnight came, 1 o'clock came, 2 o'clock came, 3 o'clock came. I just thought, God, I cannot, I don't know. I don't trust you anymore. I don't know. This is not on. It's revolting. I've been a testimony throughout this week to you, and I thank you still for Jock, and what is happening. And about 5 o'clock, I started to pray a song, Waymaker, and I said, you are here, Lord, and you are here walking with me, Lord. And I said, you're a miracle maker. And I just started to pray scriptures, as Lorraine said this morning. She actually gave a testimony this morning as well to me. And I just started to just align myself and surrender. I just surrendered, and I said, God, whatever. Sorry for everything. Went through my list of all my shortcomings that I have so many. And I just said, Lord, please, I'm finished. I'm now just where you want me to probably be. And Lord, now pick me up again. And I said, Dad, just make me proud again of you. Make me proud of you, my dad. And all of a sudden, this courage came over me, and I said, okay, I'll get up, Lord, and I'll get up, and I will now do my utmost thing that I can do, and you have to make it happen. And I got up, and I said, okay, God, I'll get my family together, and we go together where I last had Jock. And I said, God, okay, you are a miracle worker. And yeah, we went and drove all the way to Somerset, to Strand, to that shop. I started talking to the people. There was a guy that sells Boudewors roller keys. I said to him, did he anyway see anything? And then I went to the shops around there. And I thought maybe they had some CCTV footage, the one person had, but the camera wasn't correctly orientated, so it was like, okay. Then another phone call came in, and I was at a shop, and then another phone call came in, and my son actually called me, and he says, Dad, we just received a phone call from somebody. And I said, yeah, whatever, I'll come just now. And he says, no, Dad, it sounds quite serious. And I thought, so I ran quickly back to the car where my family was sitting, and I said to, okay, what's going on? No, there's a guy that probably they said, he said he's got jock. I said, okay. Then I had been warned of people saying to me, please be careful. Police also told me people will get you in a trap because this message has been out. And I thought, okay. So I phoned that guy back and he says, no, he's got my dog. I said, how do you know it's my dog? He says, no, I got your number from the collar. I said, you mean from the dog tag? He says, yes, that's why I'm calling you. And I said, yeah, well, but can you send me a picture? He says, of course I can send you a picture. And there this picture comes through, and it's Jock. Now, I said, where are you staying? He says, no, in Mandalay. I said, where is that? No, it's right next to Khayelitsha. I said, oh. And I thought, okay, can you send me a pin? He says, yeah. And he sent me a pin, but that didn't work out properly. I just saw the address, and I just went into, onto the car's driver's seat, and I just drove as fast as I could and drove through a squatter camp, a squatter area. Then it went darker and darker, and I thought, ooh, cuts. And then it was some built-up houses again, following Google Maps, and then we went into a dead end, and there was a guy sitting in the bucky and chatting to another guy outside the bucky, and he had like off-sleeve shirt with tattoo. The other guy, he like was also not very pleasant to look at. And as I got out and I approached them, and it should have been the right address, and he just turned around and walked away from me. And I thought, okay, cool dude, wants me to follow him. And I followed him, didn't even greet me. And then I followed him, thought this is the guy. And then all of a sudden he turned around and said, well, what are you doing? I said, nah, I'm coming to pick up my dog. He says, what dog? I said, my dog that has been stolen. He says, he doesn't know about any dog. I said, well, this is the address. He says, no, this is not the address. And I said, he says, listen here. You don't belong here. People like you, you get murdered here. And I said, well, I don't care. I got this message here, and this is the address where my dog is. He says, what dog? What are you talking about? And the guy in the bucky, he called me. He says, what's your problem? So I turned around. I'm looking for my dog. And I had so much courage. I said, nah, this is from God. There's no way. And he looks at me, he says, what is the address? I showed him. He says, no, this is the wrong address. He says, now listen here. You going to go into your vehicle and you going to follow me. I'm going to bring you to the place, to the right address, but you stay seated until I tell you to get out. So he drove in front of me and we stopped at another place, same street, just whatever, I don't know. And then we stopped there. He went out, went into the place, came back out. He says, okay, very cool, you can come out. And I like went out, and I saw some children in the yard there. And and then all of a sudden I saw my dog. And the dog saw me, and he just like came running to me, and it was a welcome. Yeah, he was stinking like of human excrements, of puke, of beer, of whatever. So he spent the whole night somewhere roaming around, camouflaging himself. And I hugged him, and then I turned around to the people there. It was a husband, a wife, attacked family in amongst this chaos there. The kids played with him, or the dog played with him. They had a ball, and he showed them how to play ball according to his rules, and he has got a lot of games. And I just said, thank you, God. I went to the guy, I said, look, I don't know how much to thank you. He says, yeah, that's natural. It's your dog. And I said, well, I've prepared some money for you here, just a present. And he says, no, why? It's your dog. I said, please accept it. No, he doesn't want to accept it. So I put it on his, I said, I want to leave this here. I put it on your table here, but rather I want to give it into your hand. And I gave it, and he says, okay, he'll use it for his kids. So what I just want to say is the surrendering, and there is a miracle, God. I've experienced things, ugly things in my life where I didn't see that breakthrough. But I saw a spiritual breakthrough. But this time I actually saw a physical breakthrough. A real physical breakthrough. And in the morning when I don't feel like, if there's stuff that is just, that doesn't want to get me up in the morning, and I see this dog, it reminds me just of how great our God is. And He is a provider. He is a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Lord, and I just want to surrender this morning again, Lord. And I would ask you for anybody that also wants to do the same thing, Lord. Just to see your goodness in this evil world sometimes, Lord. Lord, that we just can look at you and let we know that you are our Father, our ultimate Father, that we can be proud of you. Lord, we just want to surrender. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you stand with me as we we're finishing with a Vintage Church, so it's okay. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you that your word is still true and your invitation is still fresh. Father, that we can come where we've rolled, whatever we've has been spilled on us, that we can, like Jock, just come and be hugged by you because of Jesus Christ. And I want to pray that as we go into this week, that your Spirit would continue to minister your truth and point us to your Son. In Jesus' name. If you have any other prayer need, you're welcome to come to the front. I'm going to dismiss the service now, but it actually continues into the week. So go and be the church. Amen. And grab a cup of coffee with someone.